life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with Brian Smith and Anthony Askew. Tonight's episode, Ping Pong the Animation. Thanks for listening. On today's show, we are joined by one of the secrets of the Sale of Madness. It's Niall Flanagan.
Shh, be quiet. Yeah, it's me. Hello.
We like to pretend that you are one of the, you two are the secrets.
The secret is friendship. I don't know.
Are you spoiler alert? And we are here to talk about 2014. That was right, isn't it? I forgot to write the date down.
It is,
yeah. Ping Pong the Animation, the adaptation of the comic by, he says, I've been busy working on con stuff. I've not written the notes down very well.
Taiyo Matsumoto.
That's the boy. Yeah. That's your boy. And this is what Crunchyroll have to say about it. Makoto Tsukimoto, nicknamed Smile, is a quiet high schooler who is being friends with the loud and energetic Yukata Hoshino, nicknamed Pekko, since childhood. They're both in the local table tennis club and both have a natural talent for it, although Smile's personality always enables him from winning against Pekko. The club teacher, however, notices Smile's talent and tries to make him gain some sportive tenacity.
Enables him from winning. That doesn't sound like proper syntax.
No, it does not. Always enables him. Yeah, that does. That's bad. That's yeah.
Prevents him from winning.
Indeed, yes.
Tut, Crunchyroll.
I suspect it's one of those sentences where somebody wrote it one way, went back and changed it, and then missed a word. But yeah, there you go. Send in an error report. That's about right. That's pretty much what happens.
Yeah.
Except it does the same thing that the series does in... it kind of deflects you from who the main character is, even though throughout the show, the main character is telling you that he is the hero.
Yes. But I thought for a while, I see this guy. I can remember from a lot of the promotional videos and saw the advertisements and stuff. Okay, that Pekko was the main character, but then I'm watching it. Maybe it smiles though, and then it kind of goes back and forth like a ping pong match, you'd say.
Spoilers as well. It's diving straight in.
So, did we watch it at the time back in 2014?
Yes,
I could not because it was a Funimation thing, wasn't it? So I couldn't get to it.
It was. Yes, I watched it as well, but I did not care about Funimation's rules.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It's too good to abide by laws and rules.
That being said, because I was pirating it at some point, I stopped watching it around episode 8, I think.
Why?
Wow.
Why?
Far in.
Yeah, I think probably just something ate my time. I'm noticing it doing it. Maybe a convention was coming up. 2014, mm-hmm. Yeah, the Minami probably. Cause I think this aired in January.
Were you aware that there was like 3 episodes left at that point, though?
Yeah.
What? Even? You should just...
I get busy, Anthony, and things fall to the wayside.
I don't, but it's just, it's such a good show. Like, if it was something bang average, I'd be like, yeah, I'm surprised, you know, it makes sense. But this...
Pirating's an effort, Anthony.
Ugh.
Watching it streaming. I mean, even taking it out of the cellophane and putting it in my Blu-ray player is an effort. It's still sitting here in its cellophane. Because I can now watch it on Crunchyroll without any problem.
Yeah, like episode 8 is like just when it's getting to the start of like the fucking of the finals. Like, it's, oh my gosh, why would you
guys? I've watched it now. Back off.
No, we won't.
No.
Wow, I'm surprised.
Got around to it eventually, and the world's better for it. I hope.
So, Anthony, I believe, if I'm right in thinking, this is your favourite Yuasa.
Absolutely,
production.
Without a doubt. And seeing it again for a second time, it's better on a second watch. Like, I didn't think I was going to enjoy it quite as much, but it's so much better on a second watch. And I loved it back then. Like, honestly, this is, to the bottom of my heart, one of my all-time favourite shows. I can't remember, where did I put it in my top...
Oh,
100? I should have took a note of that.
I'll look it up while Niall tells us what he thought of it.
Mm.
But what I kind of thought I was going in, you know, because I hadn't seen too much of it, and I only had a few trailers to work off of here. Well, it's obviously it's about kind of a ping pong type of thing, but it's very sumptuously animated. And I was noticing a lot of, okay, now this is an animated thing. You can do a lot of cool, like, impossible angles you can only do in a cartoon. Like, you know, kind of stuff like kind of the way it follows the ball through the air and doing these, like, really crazy looking shots and all the kind of visual metaphors. Like, because that's the thing it does very very well also is it's ping pong. It's like, how is this going to sustain your interest over the course of a whole series? Like, but it just makes it all so visually exciting, and like a good sports show, it's really all about the personal dramas, which sort of, and then the sports is a kind of a kind of like a big therapy session for all these guys to work out their issues in, and that's where the real that's where the real fun is. But also cool ping pong shots.
Oh, so many. But you're right what you say. I feel like they could have put any sport. There's not to take away from the ping pong, but I just think the character drama is so on point. From start to finish, these characters are just, I don't know, there's something about them. And I like them even more, on a second watch. But is it ping pong or is it table tennis? I should have really Googled the difference, if there is a difference at all.
They're the same thing.
Well, table tennis.
Who calls them ping pong then?
Well, table tennis is the proper name for it, if you're going to have a game.
Oh. Okay, I should have really looked into the terminology, but
You had it at number 9, Anthony.
Good. It should be top 10. And I think if I was to redo it, knowing what I know now on a second watch, it may even be a number 8.
You replace GoGo 13, would you?
Ooh. Perhaps. Goggle references in this, but...
That's true, yes. I've forgotten about that.
So did I. I think, what a cool nickname. That's not a bullying nickname. That's a cool nickname.
Particularly after watching...
We'll get to that.
Watching it today, the same day as Haybot was also referencing Goggle 13.
Ah. I was going to say the in thing, but this is like 3 years old now.
I was going to say, yeah. I think parodying GoGo's always been the in thing since GoGo came around.
It's evergreen.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I'm not going to be as effusive as Anthony and say it's in my top 10 or better than Tatami Galaxy, which I think is still my favourite Yuasa thing.
Thing is, did you feel that as your favourite on a first watch? Because I know... I imagine that's much better on a second watch as well.
Yeah, I think I just prefer the fantasy. The different script writer to this. This is a lot of fun as well. I was just going to see who did the script on this one.
Yuasa did. Well, it did serious composition anyway, and most of the scripts were as well, if I remember correctly. Yeah, he did episodes 1 to 11.
There you go. So it's more him than most of the other stuff.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Even though it's an adaptation. But he made some changes and introduced some original characters and gave some characters more stuff to do, like the guy who falls out of love.
Big, long...
Sanada, the other guy in the Kaio team, the second guy, should be there.
Is it Sanada?
The guy who goes on the trip and comes back at the end.
Oh, that dude.
Smile beats him quite early on, I think. I'm going to quit.
Apologies, listener, if you heard my alarm to take my tablet going off in the background there.
I didn't hear the alarm. I just heard you disappear.
I could hear it. I mean, if I could hear it, it's probably on the recording as well.
Ah, okay.
They made the games shorter. They were 21 points in the comic rather than 11 points.
Okay. I mean, there's no need to have them. I mean, to be honest, they could have just edited it down and sped it up, but 11 is far sweeter, I think.
The coach, he was aged up to 10 years. He was 62. He's 72 in the anime. Kazumi.
Ah. All right.
So does that mean the other two?
I guess they're older as well.
Older as well. Yeah.
And everything's kind of... the timing is changed as well, I think, I don't know if it was set in the mid 90s when it was there, but they've updated some things which don't exist anymore in schools and things. So apparently incinerated his bats when he gave up, Pecco did. Whereas apparently schools don't have incinerators on site anymore. They're not allowed to. So
makes sense. I guess it's more poetic to throw it into the ocean.
Yeah, and you get that comeback at the end, very end.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. That's interesting, because what other characters? So it was just that the travelling guy he had.
They made the... So Gami has expanded on the dragon's uncle wasn't necessarily his uncle. He wasn't determined to be his uncle, right, apparently, in the comic. And his daughter wasn't in the comic either.
At all.
Because I think that love interest, or lack of, seems like such a big part to Kazama's character, or like, it doesn't really change him, but it just puts his attitude into like more of a perspective when you see how he acts around her and stuff.
I thought that, like, you know, like, it really gave like a much greater, much kind of clearer sense. Like, he's even willing to forego this in the name of victory in ping pong.
On the grandfather as well, apparently, is an anime original character.
What? Whose grandfather?
Dragon's grandfather.
Yeah, the guy who was the hair, he was like the, what's he, is he the headmaster of the Cairo school? Or?
I don't know. He's the chairman. So as well as running his company, he's also the chairman of the school board, I guess.
Okay. But again, that also seems like an integral front. Like, you know, I guess, you know, like, why mustn't you just have to read the comic and maybe things?
As you can guess, none of us have read the comic. I'm just taking this from what Wikipedia is telling me.
Speak for yourself.
Have you read it?
I've not.
Yeah, exactly.
5 volumes. That's not many.
You wouldn't do this, yeah.
And there's a live action as well, like that film.
Yes.
That's what I found too, yeah. This obviously didn't catch on nearly as well as this did, because I had just no idea that that was a thing until the animation came around. Like, what's the circles I run into?
Well, I remember tweeting about it ages ago. I said, I would love to see a live action adaptation. Just because of the... And somebody was like, well.
Yes.
Actually.
Not only was there one, you could get it for £4 on Amazon.
Oh, really? I didn't know. I really want to track it down.
Yeah, it was released in the UK.
Wow. See, that just shows you. So, like, I didn't even think to research before tweeting, because I just didn't think it was a thing.
Yeah, see, I did know it was a thing because it was 2005, so I'd still been at Videolog, so it would have passed by me. But I wouldn't have known what it was. I would have just gone, oh, that's some Japanese film about ping pong.
Well, the tagline is Rocky with table tennis.
Well, that's the review quote from the Daily Telegraph, yes.
So I don't know how accurate that is, but...
And Jonathan Ross says, a wonderful discovery, an exhilarating, uplifting smash.
Well, make my own mind up, Jonathan, thanks. But yeah, hearing the dragon, that's, I don't know, I mean, that's weird, but never mind. Because I think the Christmas episode, like, that is an integral part. Like, having her, like, her texting him for the date or whatever else, he doesn't show up, or at least, like, we don't realise he doesn't show up, but you get, like, her imagination or, like, idealistic approach to it. Like, that's a key part of that episode. Well done, you Asa, I say. Putting these guys in. You did the right thing.
Yeah, I wonder whether the dad's thing is the same, the death, which we're not quite sure is accident or suicide.
Yeah.
I mentioned like, I think you can have brief little sort of like flashbacks, things kind of like Kazuma's memories, like, and I think it's like the other side of family going on, but all this illness in your side of family, and didn't kind of factor in, it could have been mental illness, not like a disease.
So we should, for the person who hasn't watched the thing before, our characters are, we've got Pecco, he's loud. At the start of the show, he thinks he's the bee's knees at playing table tennis, because he's basically hustling people at the local table tennis hall.
Yeah.
His friend Smile, who... we think is called Smile because he never smiles, but we learn later on that he's called Smile for a different reason. And he's Pecco's best friend, and we see in flashbacks that Pecco is perhaps Smile's only friend. Who saved him from bullying in various other situations earlier on and sort of brought him out of himself.
Yeah. It's kind of like they became friends, they came together, but Ping Pong made them brothers.
Yes. So they go to, which school do they go to?
It's Katase.
Katase School. Then they've got the big rivals. Well, not really rivals, because they're just KO table tennis schools, table tennis club, who are basically the best
rich
table
kids.
Yeah. they're not rich.
They're not even, yeah, they're just
the school's elite. Rich. But they're the elite and they're trained really hard.
Shaolin monks of table tennis.
Training to just shaved heads. That's one of them.
Yes. And so the focus on them are Ryuichi Kazama, whose nickname's Dragon, who is the grandson of the chairman of the school, and he also runs Poseidon Sports, who basically seems to exploit his school and his grandson to make money off the back of table tennis.
Wait, so Kazama's grandfather's the one of the three legendary ping pong players.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right, okay. I was just clarifying. Right.
Yeah,
so I thought you said the grandfather was brought in into this as a original character. What? okay. Go on.
So at the school we meet Manabu Sakuma, who's known as Demon, who used to be at the same table tennis club at that table tennis hall with Pecco and Smile. He's got very angular eyes
and Harry Hill glasses.
Yes.
Yeah, could you mention before?
And the other guy there is Sanada, isn't it? The guy with the big bushy eyebrows.
Yeah. So the number two on the team, really.
Then there's another school, which I think I copied the name down out of the translated wiki page. I can't remember what they call it in the actual show.
They don't get much coverage in that regard.
No, we follow Kong Wenge, whose nickname becomes China. He's kind of working as a player coach for the school. He's been sent over because he's not cutting it in China, but he's also been brought over to train up that table tennis team as well.
Yeah,
and at first he doesn't want to be there, but gradually. In fact, he's the guy who seems to become more human the quickest out of the characters we follow.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be there, but he's making the best of a bad situation.
Yeah.
And then he kind of comes around to it.
With that said, I think that's just the way it's told in the story, because when you see the flashback to him leaving China, initially you see him as this cold, hard, well, not killer, but he's like, you know, he's no emotion when he leaves his mother. And then when you see it later on, he is actually quite emotional. So yeah. I think it's the arc of the way the story's told. But yes, he definitely does have he does change slightly. Yeah.
Particularly that Christmas episode, as you meant.
Yes, great. Yeah.
Like, it's just like you understand, like, yeah, of course he's going to be pissed off because he just wants to go home to his mom. He's got to be in this fucking dump that he hates. I thought that was a really good bit because you see the flashback here on the train, like Stone Fist, and then later on you see like the kind of the end of that same kind of animation where he's his head in his hands breaking into tears.
Yeah. It's really sad. I mean, there's lots of moments like that, and it's the best bit. Well, ping pong aside, it's the great moments of the show, which there's many. The emotion.
We've also got the coach characters. We've got Joe Kazumi, aka Butterfly Joe, who's the elderly coach of the Katase team,
who breaks into English
constantly. Yes,
Sugimoto, great character.
And we learn his past. He'd suffered the same thing Smile was suffering from, in that he wouldn't take advantage of people's weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. And that cost him.
Yes. We got Obaba, who runs the table tennis hall, and she basically, part of the way through, basically retrains Pecco from scratch at his request.
Yeah.
Mm. I loved her little kind of go between, because this is like, again, a Rocky thing. What's up there? Because she's kind of saying, "I love you, Pecco. Get out there.
Oh, yeah.
I win."
Yeah, I do like it every time she says, "I love you, Pecco." And then when he picks it up later on in the series. And her sidekick is, or possibly son.
It's her son, yeah.
Yeah.
Michio. They do say that, but I just thought it was maybe a term of endearment.
Yeah, that's right. I wasn't entirely sure. Who is constantly shouting. I did like that touch to
it. So loud. He's very largely built. He has a very big voice.
Yeah. Michio Tamura, so it's some relation, so my lappy son.
As I say, there was the Yagami character who gets expanded, and Yuri, Kazama's cousin, who is also the original character. So that's pretty much all the main characters taken care of. So now we can talk with a bit more context for people who haven't seen this before.
I think what this show does fucking fantastically is they serve you up this array of arrogant asshole characters, and it takes you on a year-long journey through their redemptive arcs, and it just bang succeeds in all of them, I think. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everybody gets their time, which when you come into it, you might expect it just to be Pecco and Smile, and then you're pleasantly surprised about how much other time Dragon and Demon and China get as well.
Yeah.
Hmm. I thought Sakuma would be like a kind of a bigger thing, but he sort of it sort of kind of crashes out in the middle of the series because he just can't kind of overcome it. But then that makes him a good sort of contrast into Pecco, because, you know, the same thing could happen to him. But he gets over his funk and gets back into it, whereas Sakuma just sort of takes a separate path. It has that whole thing where, like, you know, Pecco was just kind of like naturally good at it, and Sakuma always had to like work for everything. He worked 10 times harder, but he still couldn't cut it, and that's what kind of crushed him. And then when he sees Pecco, like, you know, giving up ping pong, he thought, "You motherfucker, you got like talent for days, and you're just like everything I had to work so many hours for, and I couldn't even come close to how good you were." I was like, "Ah, you're just going to throw it away," and that's kind of. It helps that Pecco over, but really it's something else that kind of motivates Pecco more to get back in the game.
And you also get the feeling, because he drops out of school entirely. He doesn't just give up ping pong, that perhaps he'd pushed himself further than he should have done. By getting into Kaio, being good enough for Kaio, he's pushed himself so far that he has to give the entire thing up, not just table tennis. And then he gets his girlfriend, who's got that great voice later on. She sounds like the squirrel doctor in Peppa Pig.
And he gets a great haircut.
He does, so yes.
He comes off Trump.
He can finally not be bald anymore.
Yeah, he's a great character. Like, at first, obviously, you're not meant to like him as such. Because he's a dick. He, like, when it comes to ping pong, he's a total arsehole. But when he has that chat with Pecco, where Pecco jumps off the bridge, and there's always like kids going past, like, "Oh, young love," that made me laugh. There's some funny bits in that, like, just well written funny bits, and that made me laugh. Young romance or something. They shout when he's like kind of saying how much he admires Pecco, and it's cool. Yes.
Like, what if they all kind of started out like this, like assholes, you know, and it's kind of hard to like them. Like, Pecco, he's actually reminded me oddly enough, he's a bit like Frieza from Dragon Ball. He's like naturally, he's naturally good at table tennis, but he's just never had to train. And then when he gets shown up for that, when Kong beats him, it just rocks him to the core.
Freeze. This is a retelling of Dragon Ball.
Well, it's got Masako Nozawa in it. She's old lady Tamura. So
we've got a three legendary ninja with Butterfly Joe, and it's all going on.
Yeah, I do like his kind of art, because he does train properly, and his actual talent is kind of uncovered and focused, but along with it, he kind of finds his reason for why he loves the sport in the first place. He gets a more well-rounded appreciation for ping pong, the sport, and everybody who plays it, because... Mm-hmm. Like, at the start of the series, now he's always, like, reveling in an opponent's defeat. But then, like, later on, he's gone through all of this. He just says, like, handshake, good game, fella. That was really exciting. You know? Yeah.
He gets humbled, and he's a better person. Yeah. Not just on the court, but in the world out there as well.
Yeah, like, his selfishness is gone. You know, he would always be the kind of guy, he'd just start crying and sulking, like, after he lost the game. We saw this kind of sticks with us. Like, he has that knee problem in the later on tournament, and you know, like Tamara's kind of always asking him on afterwards, and you know, again, the old Tim would be like, "No, just leave me alone, it's fine." But he's just kind of saying, "I'm more like I'm grand, more like, I don't want to make people worry about me," because he's like, again, he's more aware that there are people around him who care about him too, and that selfishness has just been driven out of him.
Yeah, you say Dragon Ball reminded me that yes, they did do for April Fool's Day. They changed the ping pong site so that it was cool. They changed the logo so it looked like the Dragon Ball logo.
Really?
Put Obama in the forefront. Put a video together.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've stuck a link in the
let's see this.
Group call.
So I hope they used Pecco's star. Well, it's just a generic star, I suppose. It's a Pecco's star. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Fancy that.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, Dragon Ball Ping Pong, that rings a bell. That rings a bell. I was like, ah, oh, there you go.
I think that mentioning the Pecco thing with when he realizes more people care about him, I think he spent his entire life looking out for others without, because you're right, you find out later on that not only was he looking out for Smile when he was a kid, but he's also got like loads of younger siblings. So I always assume, I feel, well, you learn, at least I feel you learn that he's like the big brother of the family.
I think they say he's the third child on...
Oh, is he the third child? Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, it doesn't prove my theory too much.
It's on his maths report where he got zero. That's what's written name.
Well, he's got all the Evangelion art on his maths pip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I like to. I feel as though he realised that, you know, other people care about him as much as he kind of looks out for others. Because I imagine he looks out for his family. He seems that kind of guy, but does it in a way that's cocky and annoying.
Well, he's still doing it all the way through to the end of the series.
Oh, but I think he acknowledges that, you know, other people care. Don't get me wrong. Like, I know he's a nice guy.
Yes,
he's cocky, but he's a good guy.
Because by the end of the series, he's trying to get to the finals of this. What competition is it? The
Inter-High, I think.
Inter-High. High school, so, national championships?
It's not, no, because they say if you get in the top four, go to the nationals.
You go to nationals, that's right.
That's why they're telling him, you're in the semifinals, you can pull out now, you don't have to hurt your knee. But he's like, no, I've got to go and take on Kazama. And he does, because he's got to fix Kazama as well by beating him.
Yeah, and also these guys got to play Smile again. And Smile is the best mate. He wants to play a good game with him.
Well, he wants to see him smile again.
Yes.
And
Smile only gives his best performance against Pecco.
And that's where we learned that he's called Smile because he would always that was the time he'd smile when he was playing table tennis against Pecco.
Yeah.
Mm.
And he feels like he stopped smiling because of how he was hustling people at the table tennis club, and he'd been ignoring it because it was obviously making him money and he was having fun doing that, not paying attention to the fact it was making Smile unhappy.
Yeah.
Mm. I thought it really kind of touched me a bit when, you know, his Smile has this sort of kind of mantra he goes by where it's this superhero character who tells him, you know, just like recite this phrase and I will appear and I will come save you. And then like the person who told him that he had in mind all along was Pecco. I was like, oh, like Pecco is your hero, and then that's how it's just so sweet to me.
Yeah, is it the same belt as the one in Mind Game they've given the superhero?
Oh,
I don't know. No,
because it's got a clock on it, hasn't it? I'm pretty sure.
Like spin as like two spinning components.
I didn't go back and check.
Don't ask these questions, and then it's now we need to know.
A lot of show as well as people trying to figure out, you know, and smile, like, what is D? Is really good at ping pong? It doesn't seem like you can kind of drive to win. And people are always trying to decipher what that is. And I feel Smile is trying to figure that out for himself as well. Because he started out because he was playing with Pekko and he loved doing it. But now, like, that's kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit. He's kind of wondering, why am I still playing this?
Yeah, but, well, apart from being very good, and that's why Butterfly Joe has to constantly encourage, by basically almost killing an old man to make him realise.
I forgot about that episode, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good kind of turnaround, because he kind of, like, takes all that, all the kind of, like, name calling, you know, people calling him a robot, and then thinking, well, you could be like a super killer robot too, and just start wrecking guys, which is... And then later on, when he's kind of like gearing up to like to take out and just take out like an opponent and start wasting him, he's like, you just go, okay, ready for a game, going for a serve.
This time around, I didn't realize, well, I dislike Smile a lot more in this time around, I think. Like, not at the end, but the different behavior, the way he treats people, I was like, oh, he's such a dick. Whereas I can't seem to remember being so strongly anti-Smile when I first watched it. Whereas this time around, I don't know why, it's because I know kind of where it's going and kind of like the other characters a little bit more. Like, I'm more fond of them, so I notice this behavior a little more. But oh, he's awesome. He's terrible.
Yeah, he kind of scored through something of a fall that way, because he kind of embraces that sort of merciless robot side a little bit too much. And then around that point of the story, it sort of takes the focus off him a little bit, and then back on the Pekko and him getting out of his rush and getting back in the game. Yeah. And then Pekko doing that and learning more about their background through his little arc, you get the context then for why Smile is the way he is. And then that is waiting for them to get to that last match, because you know they're going to be, you know, so the final game is going to be like him against him. And you're just waiting for them to get there, and the law is going to just come pouring out again.
But he leaves it ambiguous as to whether or not he did do what Butterfly Joe did, because you don't see the end. You don't see the complete match, which I thought was genius as well. It's like they don't even tell you who won until you see that pit photo on the wall.
I thought they weren't going to show that at all. Like, what, that was going to leave you like no ending. Don't know who won, but
they did. I bet they thought about doing that.
But that little bit of ambiguity is still there. And that's it's kind of nice to kind of have it both ways. We're like, you get to see, like, you know, how this thing actually turned out. But did it happen for this reason or this reason? You know, it's still a little question lingering in your mind.
And it also resisted because it's constantly reminding you that if you keep on going, you might destroy your knee just like I did. You might not be able to read properly again. And then it turns out, he's gone pro. He's fine. They must have, as they said, take him to the hospital as soon as it's finished.
Yeah, better healthcare now than.
That's true. That's probably also the difference.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember how it ended. Like, when I started watching this again a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking, where does this actually go? As much as I really, really like it, I rarely rewatch stuff ever, except for the podcast, really. And I was thinking, where on earth does this go? Who wins when? And I just couldn't remember. I could remember a lot of the character interactions, like the more like the storytelling aspect. But when it came to the actual result, I was like, I can't remember. I couldn't remember at all. So it felt fresh in many ways this time around. And they aren't afraid to have people lose as well. Like, there's times I thought, oh, like, Thingy's definitely going to win here. And they just, you know, they don't give in to the cliche, I don't feel. Thankfully, there's no character deaths, because because there was one point I was convinced one of the either Butterfly Joe or Obaba was going to die. I don't know why. I just thought they're going to chuck some emotion in here that's not needed.
I was going to say, the reason you think that is from worst things doing that sort of thing.
Yeah.
This isn't a Mitsuru Adachi sports comic. It's...
And I would have been super upset, and it would have been a cheap trick. But it would have been good.
Yeah,
not that I want to see people.
Out. Yeah, apparently in the original comic, China and Pekko were in the first round together, so China at least got an extra round before he was eliminated.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I was kind of almost sad to see Kong get knocked out, but it's kind of after he's like spent some time in the country and gotten used to it. So even like, because for him, he's kind of we're coming in. It's like, if I lose, no, like I've stuck here and I got nothing. But when he does then lose later on, it's like, well, at least he has these guys who he's been training, and he's really kind of like nurtured him and grown affectionate of him, and they've grown affectionate of him too, because even when he's outside and on the bench like, talking with his coach after that game, they're poking their heads around the corner trying to be inconspicuous, saying, "Is coach okay? Is he all right? I hope so."
Go for it, Nas.
I was just going to say, the guy he even beats is this kind of mocking and has a very dim view of Japan. He's a world away from the guy later on where his team are kind of buying the overpriced shoes because the players in Mexico and saying, well, no, you don't need those shoes. But if you want to have nice shoes, that's okay as well, Dad, so go ahead.
Yeah, it's a nice moment.
Yeah, I like the way the tournament is arranged as well, so that Smile basically just kind of eases his way through.
He just fucking one-shots all the guys.
Whereas Pekko's got that real struggle, because normally you'd think, oh, the two main characters are going to have we're going to see equal amount of time for all of them. But it's nice, because that reestablishes the idea that it's tricked you in thinking that Smile was the main character early on in the series, that it reestablishes Pekko as being the main character. He's had to bring himself back from his lowest point, completely rebuild himself.
Well, he even starts smoking, doesn't he? Starts smoking, getting fat.
Grows his hair out.
Yeah, what an animal. And he gets drunk on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
On what do they call it? Alcohol, what are they called? The sweets?
Just chocolate, a little kind liqueurs. Of alcohol thing in them, yeah.
Chocolate liqueurs, that's it, yeah. He only has about six of them. I know he's only a kid, but they can't be that. I don't know what they're like in Japan. Maybe they do produce very strong ones, but that's a good moment.
I really like the Pekko Kazuma match as well, because of it's the longest match, and it's also like Kazuma's. We get his full view of his background and how the match helps him break away from his grandfather's training to actually enjoy playing ping pong.
Yeah, it's like his father was gone, and his father was kind of more of a caring paternal presence, but then that was supplanted by his granddad. It was one of results and victory and.
Don't cry.
So he's pursuing like victory after victory, but it never quite fills the void that's been left behind there.
Yeah, because there's lots of talk of like, who are you playing for? People keep on asking themselves through the last few episodes.
He plays for the team.
He changes his answer depending on who he's talking to.
Yes. That was
really?
Yes.
Oh, well, that was the one that I remembered most, probably because it was most recent, but.
Because he tells the team he's playing for the team. He tells Sakuma that he's playing for himself. That's when Sakuma.
He's such a complex character.
So
complex.
Like I liked how when they revealed, Kazuma was always like going into the bathroom before a big game. Like, what you doing there? And he's just kind of sitting in there, standing in the room. He's just listening to the people coming in, hearing what they really think.
It's that's weird. Like it's weird watching this just after watching the past few episodes of Welcome to the Ballroom, though. Scenes with people who've damaged their knees and are sitting in the toilet listening to people talk about them.
if we've looked back and watched some more sports shows, that could be a common cliche.
Mind you, I've before an exam or something, I've gone and sat in the toilet and just for ages and kind of collected thoughts and stuff.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's quite a common. It's a weird. The more I think about it, it's kind of weird. But I've done it loads. Before a job interview, I've gone to the building. I've been "Where's the toilet?" And I've sat in the toilet for ages.
They never give you the job because they go, he was sat in the toilet for ages. Don't want anybody like that working here. Takes forever on the loo.
The more I think about it, the more strange it is. I don't know. There's something very. It's like the solitude and you can collect your thoughts, get yourself mentally ready. My reasoning's not as dark as mine's just.
Yeah.
I like the toilets.
It's somewhere you guarantee you won't be disturbed unless exceptional circumstances come into play.
True. Excuse me, I need to go to the toilet to think about my dead dad. I'll be out there in a minute.
Okay, wash your hands.
I want to mention the time progression in this series. It is seamless. And I think I notice it far more in a second run because you notice, if you were to go back and watch it now, Niall, you would see the characters, they change so much. Like, not that, I don't mean like personality wise and like the character, like mentally, but physically. It's fantastic. I just think it's such a, to think it does that in 11 episodes. And because it's set over such a wide span, I would love to get a picture of Pecco from start to finish and watch as it changes. Or any of the characters, except Kazuma, he's bald. He stays bald for a while.
Pecco does seem, what I remember from earlier in the series, he does seem kind of smaller and shrimpier. And then when I think of him at the end of the series, I just seem a bit taller, a bit more athletic. I kind of maybe part of my mind took that as, well, this visual style is very changeable. So I thought maybe it's just sort of the proportions were going, changing from one scene to the next.
Yeah, it could be that. Maybe I'm just over focusing on this, but there is definitely much, much time movement. And I think it's just, it doesn't focus on it in a way that's like, he's been away training. It's just so discreet and I think that works in its favor.
Yeah, well, I suppose it is a whole year. He's only a teenager. He's still growing, so that's a year is a long time.
Yeah, I thought it was over more of a year. I think that is it over more of a year.
I think it's only only see Christmas once, so it's only over.
It's true. It's 2014. You see in the photograph that that's the high. So the first one must be in 2013, and then the second one is 2014's.
It starts just before the high school championships and then ends on next year's one.
And it's probably less than that because we're only really seeing them in high school for much of it.
True.
So, and they're only first years. They've got another 2 years. And then we have a massive jump right at the end when we see them.
Oh, yes.
In their early 20s, I guess. What do you think of the split screen technique that they use throughout?
I like that a lot because it's obvious. I'm making a lot of reference to the original comic, and the split screen, and then there's also as well this the multiple panels like that. And I sort of liked how they'd come into play and then start moving at different different points.
That was what I was meaning. Yes,
it
was.
Yeah, and that's.
It's a good trick in making you think there's more movement going on the screen than there actually is.
Yeah. Also, as well, it's drawing your eye back and forth, again, like you're following a rally at a ping pong game.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, I forget it does it. So I think that's a good thing. And there's never a point I think, oh, here we go again. It's never too much of an effort to follow. And I just fall into the world. And, like, I let it show me what it wants to show me. So it never feels like too much of a chore to see. So I think it looks really good.
Yeah, I'm looking at some pictures of the comic here. Yeah, in the matches, it does go into that angular split, the same as the TV does.
Yeah, it's good. It's just that rhythm of ping pong is it's there, and they just use it in the way it's you have that familiar tempo of the bouncing of the ball, kind of timing the cuts so as it kind of goes from one shot to the next, and it's just the whole nature of the game. I guess the spirit of the game is just ingrained in it, in everything, like from the story to the actual sport of the game, to just the way that it looks and the way that it's edited and choreographed.
Yeah, this one isn't out in English, is it, as a comic?
It's not. I feel like I might, because they've brought out a lot of other Tiamat and Moto stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking here. We've got Tekken King Crete, Go-Go Monster, and Sunny.
Yeah.
Like what we've had.
I guess this was this was before the concrete, I suppose. Maybe it's an earlier work that just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, it was mid-90s. So I guess I think that's just before Tekken King Crete. I know Pulp was serializing it late 90s. Black and White is the only thing I've read. I know, it's just after Tekken King Crete. Tekken King Crete was 93, 94.
Okay.
So this is just before, this is the one before Go-Go Monster, which...
That's odd then. So I think going in order, they would then do Ping Pong, but they kind of jumped onto Sony instead.
Yeah, some other ones in between as well, yeah. Those things. Would I buy it to read? Probably not. That's just for practicalities of time, but I'd like the option to. I'd like the option not to buy it, is what I'm saying.
See, I would buy it and it would just sit there in a cupboard.
Exactly. I've already got plenty of comics and books sitting in on a shelf waiting to be read. I don't need to add any more to them.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what this, because I bought this on Blu-ray, and anyway, we kind of got around to watching it when I had reason to, i.e. this podcast.
Yeah, so. Ditto. And by which point, it's on Crunchyroll anyway, so.
Yeah, no.
I held off buying it, and I don't know why. I remember, because I was super excited to get the collector's edition, and I was like, oh, I need to get this, and then it didn't happen, and then... It's a great thing to see it on Crunchyroll. Save that. It's only £29 as well.
Yes, it did.
The collectors.
Yeah. Collectors? Yeah, I don't know what my version is.
If it's the same one I have, collector's thing, it's like a Blu-ray DVD combo pack.
Okay, that's it. It does look like what it is. I haven't taken it out of the cellophane.
Or you can get the regular DVD for $14.95. Blu-ray.
Blu-ray. Okay.
That's really good value.
Regular Blu-ray would be good, yeah. I'm glad I had those, because, yeah, but I broke it open and I thought, oh, there's a lot of discs in here. And I noticed on DVD too, so I had a DVD, so I had to watch them away from home, shall we say. Mm. And then when I got home, I could stick this on the Blu-ray at home, and I'm glad I did.
That is the Australian release, by the way, Anthony.
Ugh!
Are they same region, Australia?
Same region, I think region B, we're region B. And region 2 for the DVD. You could use Brian's CD shredder. Get rid of those DVDs. All tat.
But then I'll have like weird gaps in the box then.
Oh, well, that's why you need to do what I do. Buy DVD sleeves. I've got a big DVD sleeve thing. It's all my boxes. Felt amazing.
Now,
How
do you think it compares to 2007's Balls of Fury?
I've never seen that film.
I know what that is. Yeah.
I'm going to say this is better animated. I don't think I would enjoy Balls of Fury. It looks too daft, if that is possible.
It is very daft, yes.
Yeah.
What about Scorching Ping Pong Girls? Is it a notch on that, Bobby?
I'm looking here. You got some other things here. Ping Pong Summer, Ping Pong Player.
Ping Pong Club.
I think I might have seen a episode of Ping Pong Club, but more about that on a future episode.
You should definitely get this on Blu-ray, though, everyone. Or just watch it. Just watch it. Just find somewhere to watch it that isn't illegally torrenting it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great. And like drama aside, you know, with the characters and so forth, it does actually make the sport become like really visually exciting to watch.
Yeah,
really cool, like visual metaphors there. Like you have Kong and his dream of flying home, so he kind of serves the ball and it turns into an airplane, but it's up against Dragon, and he sends it back and it turns into like this like electric like Chinese mid dragon, and it's fun flying right back at him. It's just really cool stuff like that. I really love the one that they keep doing where like a ping pong table isn't in the space between, but like when someone's like rolling to return a shot, the enemy and running like 50 yards across the gym floor to dive and then hit that ball back.
Use of music is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I meant to.
Yes, yeah. Like,
from start to finish, it picks the perfect time to play the music. It's the perfect song to use.
I don't think I noticed it until the Pekko Dragon Smile match.
Oh, the Dragon. Yes. That is a good one. Because I think Smile says something and then it cues the music. I think, just Smile.
Yeah, I think it is. It is cued by, it's the point, I think it's around the point at which he decides to ignore. It's the point at which he realizes playing ping pong is fun. It's so much fun that you forget that you've got an injury.
Yes.
And that draws Dragon out of his shell as well. And they both grow wings, metaphorically, and fly.
But none of these metaphorical visuals are too... like, they're over the top, but they never seem... I don't know, because I could understand somebody watching those. Like, if I showed somebody a preview and I said, this show has great drama, great characters, and I showed them those clips, they'd be like, looks a bit daft.
Yeah. Okay,
but it never feels too out there, ever.
I've looked up who did the music. It's Kensuke Ushio, who also did music for Space Dandy and Silent Voice, but also upcoming, he's doing the music for Devilman Crybaby.
Yes.
Which I'm sure will supplant Tatami Galaxy as my favourite Masaki Uematsu project.
Yeah.
There's a new trailer recently as well.
There is. And I was like, oh, I might have to do Anime Space Disco again next year just to include that disco.
Yeah, I have that Space Indie Denny soundtrack, and I've seen his name in it, but I can't think of which songs there are.
There's so many tracks, particularly when you get to Boobies Wonderland, the second volume. There's a lot of there's various pages where you can find out who did which track, as I've been using it for my Anime Space Disco.
It's definitely interesting. I've seen his name come up on the MP3 player because for some reason it's romanized, but a lot of the sound titles aren't. But anyways, I can check that out later.
Yeah, apparently in the Japanese, you can get the Japanese complete box for £326.
Poof! Don't you get a racket?
You get two art books, I think, and a T-shirt.
Yeah. I'm sure there was one where you got a racket. Are they called rackets or are they bats?
Paddles, aren't they?
Paddles. Is it paddles?
Or blades.
Ping pong.
I don't know. I'd never played table tennis.
Had one of them in, you know.
This did have you looking up, you know, the terminology, because, you know, this like has a little kind of like this character comes up and this is a name. He's like, no, he plays this style. He's like an offensive chopper. It's like, what the hell is that?
Bat. Pinhole grip. Like, bat's what they're called.
It's a bat.
Yes. Table tennis bat.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like all the little information splash screens you get of their style and all that stuff. It's cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was a box set that had a bat, and I seen it. I was like, that's amazing. But it's too expensive. I'm sure there was.
There might be, but I can't see it on Amazon. But then also, when I searched for Ping Pong Blu-ray, I also got Forrest Gump. And
famous.
Oh, yeah.
Misfire and London Falling.
What's London Falling? Is that the...
I assume it is a... something
like Olympus Fall, isn't it?
Yeah, or something which is a bit like it, and they've given it a name, an English name, similar, to remind you of that. Mm. It looks like it's a French film.
That Japanese box set is incredible. That looks so good.
You'd want it to for that amount of money.
The T-shirt wouldn't fit me, though. It wouldn't fit. It would be a small size. I know it would.
Yeah, probably.
It's also a Japanese small size, which
exactly
fits, I don't know, a terrier.
Well, I will say, from my purchasing a Japanese T-shirt, I think it depends on who the manufacturer is of that particular T-shirt. Because when I've bought wrestling T-shirts from Dragon Gate, when they came across, whoever they got their T-shirts printed on, those sizes are a lot closer to European sizes.
Oh.
Whereas Cosper's, you have to go a size up.
Let's see. How big was this show in Japan? tell me it was huge.
Oh, I shouldn't think. It was on in the middle of the night, so no, it wasn't massive.
Oh, God damn it.
It's on the Tamina Black, which wouldn't get massive viewership anyway.
But it'll get more than a lot of late night stuff would.
Mm. Yeah.
I usually don't care when people don't like stuff that I like. I think, well, it's your loss. But this is one of the things where it's very much everyone needs to love this.
But you have to remember, Anthony, most things people aren't going to watch. It's like even like the big shows that people think are big TV shows.
They aren't.
They aren't, no. It's like Game of Thrones isn't watched by that many people in the grand scheme of things. It's just the people who do watch it will never fucking shut up about
shut up,
it.
Yeah.
It just seems that way, yeah.
That's a very good point. That's a good point. I remember telling somebody to watch this as it was airing, and he was like, I don't like the look of it. It looks very King of the Hill. And I can kind of see it does help that.
That's a reason to watch it.
Yeah.
I know. But I think it's a pretty good comparison as well.
King of the Hill,
point.
Yeah. At times, it was kind of reminding me of more of a Wes Anderson film.
Oh.
I did. It was kind of some of those early on by practice sessions, and I thought, this seems like it could be a scene in a Wes Anderson thing. I don't know. It was just giving me that vibe.
I would like to see a Wes Anderson sports movie.
It would be amazing.
Yeah, because there was some it tennis in...
Tenenbaums,
yeah.
Yeah, he would do these characters justice if he chose to do a ping pong live action.
His next film's another animation, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's taken forever to come out, though, so he's probably doing another stop motion.
I didn't. Is there trailers for this going off topic?
I've seen
a poster
probably not,
before, but then a trailer.
2018, it's due. Set in Japan, Isle of Dogs follows a boy's odyssey in search of his dog Rex. Boy, his obsessions are getting even more on the nose, I think, at this point.
Is it the same style of animation as Fantastic Mr. Fox?
I can't tell from this tiny picture of the poster.
Oh, damn it. Because I did like Fantastic Mr. Fox.
It does say stop motion, though, so it's good. Got that much in common.
Good.
Yeah. I think like when he was doing that one, he fell in love with doing stop motion animation anyway, which he always kind of had. I remember like seeing bits like stop motion things in The Life Aquatic, so
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when he tried to do like a full on one, he didn't, this is my jam right here.
So. That was the point at which I cried at Life Aquatic, where they finally saw the stop motion fish.
Yeah. then again, the music kicks in and it wells up. And then he starts crying, and then you start crying. He's like, oh, no.
that's a great film as well.
Mm.
Yeah,
favorite Wes Anderson film? Sorry, I've got to ask.
It is the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, no.
I knew you just think Life Aquatic because of that scene, it doesn't get me every goddamn time.
I think Life Aquatic for me, or perhaps Rushmore.
I think Fantastic Mr. Fox would probably be tied for first.
Grand Budapest Hotel, honestly, I wasn't disappointed. You can't be disappointed with Wes Anderson, but I felt it wasn't up to scratch.
What? Obviously, I think it's the best.
But everybody else seemed to have saw it before me and said such great things about it. And perhaps I was going in expecting even more so. I like Moonrise Kingdom as well, actually.
I've not got around to watching that. I've had it on my shelf since it came out on Blu-ray. But
it's a great film as well.
I kind of want to see Bruce Willis in more Wes Anderson things, so I hope he's one of the regular players.
I was going to say, preferable to a Death Watch, a Death Wish remake, which is what he has done.
Has he?
Eli Roth's Death Wish, starring Bruce Willis.
No way.
So now we can finally put to rest the conversation. Who is a bigger piece of shit, Michael Winner or Eli Roth? We'll be able to find out.
Savage. What did Michael Winner do?
He made the other Death Wish films.
Oh. You're not a Death Wish fan?
No.
Okay.
Anything else to add about ping pong? We seem to have got diverted. Someone's written here, achieving in 11 episodes what some sports shows or shows in general could only dream of. I think that was your answer.
That's me.
Yes.
What do you mean that sounds like me? Is it poorly written or something?
No, I'm just saying, because I didn't write anything, so it must be you.
But yeah, I do. I think, especially seeing it in perspective on a second run, I keep going on about the second run, but there's so much content that never feels shoved down your throat, because some of it is quite discreet. I feel like I missed certain things on the first time I watched. I can't remember what, because it's, I mean, 3 years ago now, but I'm sure there's things I missed or didn't quite pick up on a first watch. But yeah, 11 episodes.
Like 9, 12, not 13. It's like 11. That's all we need.
Because when I come to rewatch this, I thought, oh, I better get my finger out. It's like 26 episodes long, trying to think back of what happened in my head. I was like, 11? Yeah. Oh, perhaps it was split into 2 seasons. Yeah. And I was like, what?
Most of them have only got 11 in that slot nowadays anyway. So, did you watch all of Yuri on Ice, Anthony?
I've got the last two.
Okay, so you can't compare that yet. You can't say whether that beats it.
I'm going to tell you right now.
But it doesn't.
It doesn't. No. It doesn't. I mean, I like Haikyuu, but like, I'd say that's my second favourite sports anime.
I feel like, you know, like Yuri on Ice was great, but Ping Pong comparatively feels for a much more solid all-round package.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't feel like it puts a foot wrong at any point all the way through. And the ending is satisfying. Like I said, they get to, you know, definitively end it, but have that lingering doubt in your mind at the same time.
This is a masterpiece, whereas Yuri on Ice is just an all right show. A good show. I'll say a good show.
Better than most shows.
Yeah, better than most shows, whereas this is a timeless show where it'll age well because of its style as well.
Righty-ho, I think that's a good summing up of the show. Yeah.
We'll
Niall,
it
is your final week to plug Kitacon things.
Yes, it is. So if you're going to Kitacon, and I hope you are, if you are hanging around until Sunday anyway, at 2:30 in the afternoon in Woodscown, it's Hell in a Cell, best anime fight scenes. Self-explanatory, it's anime, it's fight scenes, together at last. Two great tastes that taste great together. Even if you don't like anime, do come down. It's good to see anime characters get their heads caved in various fashions. And in the meantime, you can find me, my own podcast, Secret Inside of Madness, about animation in general, at secretinsideofmadness.com, and on Twitter at Nicholas Cage. That's NIALLCOLAS_Cage.
Woohoo! And Anthony, anything to plug for Kitacon or otherwise?
I'll let you do the Kitacon stuff.
Oh, thank you very much.
But YouTube is me playing Dark Souls at the moment, which is Ant Ask You. I did another 10-hour session yesterday on Dark Souls 2.
You lunatic.
And it's such a good game. That's all I'll say.
Righty-ho. Yes, so Kitacon, on the Friday, you better be coming along after you've registered. You better be coming along to Woodscowan at 2:30. For Anime Space Disco. You don't need to see how not to fall off a stage. You already know how to not fall off a stage.
Don't get on stage.
You don't need to be eating things at Tofu Coots Session 1. There's a Session 2 you can go to. As long as that doesn't clash with anything else. No, you need to be Woodscowan for 2:30 in the afternoon for Anime Space Disco. What are you, Anthony? What are you?
You can't ravage the panel.
I'm not ravaging them. I'm telling people you don't need to go to them.
In a competition.
It is a competition now, Anthony. You don't know.
It is, yeah. You can take a beat.
There's a reward. There's an award for doing the best panel now. So it's all out.
Is there actually?
The knives are out. Everything.
Is there actually an award for the?
Yes, there is.
You're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
Instead, go to.
Who decides?
I assume the Kitacon committee. Well, no, it's not. It's some sort of voting thing, supposedly.
It's vote as well.
Unless that doesn't happen, because other things need to be more important. Things need to be taken care of rather than setting up turning every fucking thing into a contest.
I mean, I do think it's good acknowledgement for the panel creators. I think that's good.
I think we'll be better in acknowledgement, Anthony. Sticking our names in the guide.
Into a hat. No. Oh, into the guide, okay.
Yes. Just put a page with thanks to a list of all the people who ran the panels. That's all I ask for. And I say, last Kitacon I went to, didn't get. Didn't get any thanks at all.
This is... I wish I'd never asked. I wish I'd stayed quiet.
Yeah, I don't need an award.
I've got my plastic dangly thing.
Yeah.
You don't know what the award is? It might be like a free trip to Japan or something. Yeah, it'll be a mug.
Oh, I'd love a mug. It won't even be one of them. It'll be one of those their plastic plaques with a star on it.
You're the best.
Yeah.
Written underneath.
So, anyway, back to Saturday. More events I'm running. 8:30 in the evening is Mad Stravaganza. Ignore what it says currently on the schedule. It is only an hour and a half. It's not 2 hours.
Has it ever been that late before?
It's not been that late before. It's been 8 o'clock before.
Oh, I can't promise I won't have a sly slither of dark liquid during the panel.
Okay, you.
Right.
Fucking petrol again, are you?
So, yes, Mad Stravaganza, 8:30. So if you're halfway through Videography 102, skip out of it. Halfway through LARP 101, skip out of it.
Oh, I said I was going to go that Videography one as well. I have to skip out.
If you're running DM 101, feel free to end your panel early and come to Mad Stravaganza, because I know he wants to. Also, yeah, you don't need to go and see. Yeah, don't need to see the end of Attack on Titan live action part one.
Oh, you don't have to see the start of it, I don't think. Just don't buy. That's good that they're putting stuff on like that. It's good.
It is, yeah. And right on Sunday, there'll be me, there'll be Anthony, there'll be Niall, there'll be Elliot, there'll be Gary, and we'll all be at Dynamite in the Brain live podcast at 11:30 in the morning in the studio. So you can skip out on Kittermania, Dudas Presents Making Armor, Channel A Live, cosplay photography panel, jewelry for making your costumes, and you don't even get to go to Fuzzy Yiftron 7000 because that's no longer on the schedule.
Oh.
Ooh. Best in that name, probably for the best.
Who's Team Maron? I'm going to ask this every week until I find out.
Well, we'll find out on the day.
The day, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to sit next to Niall.
Thank you.
Like in school.
I smell nice.
I don't even know how it's going to be set out. I'm hoping there'll be enough chairs for you, to be honest.
I hope there's chairs. I don't have to stand. Oh.
It's only an hour, actually. You can stand up for an hour.
I stand up doing this podcast, so...
What?
You'll never know. You'll never know.
I did it once. It was too tiring.
Yeah, I don't really stand up.
Okay, then, that is Kittercon, yes, so come along to those events and I'll be happy to see you and you'll be thoroughly entertained. And then next week, I'm not sure what we're doing because I made a double booking on my calendar. So it might be the podcast we're recording next or it might be a Kittercon review podcast. We shall see. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Adios.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.